Tech WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, and we are positively happy about all of our sponsors. And, you know, I always talk about State Fair. We talk about Moeller & Gary Realty and our newest friends at Taharka here doing the Honey Graham ice cream, which I got replenished back earlier in the week, and I'm going to be shipping over to Don. But, Don, I did get to Fadley's this week. I curbside. I masked up. I brought my wife home mac and cheese, and I got a crab cake, and I made everybody jealous, and I put a picture up. So I finally got even, but you're still ahead of me over at State Fair, correct?
I'm ahead of you, and working. I'm excited. Next week, Fadley's is joining a little community family effort that we have over here to feed frontline workers. They're going to provide crab cake sandwiches to a bunch of the folks at St. Agnes. So, very appreciative of our sponsors. And, Nestor, what a great time to be talking about public safety. As former county executive, I used to say you appreciate all of your department heads, but your leaders in public safety truly become your right-hand folks, and it is really a pleasure to welcome Baltimore County Police Chief Melissa Hyatt to Baltimore Positive. Chief, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I should tell everyone they can follow you, of course, out on Twitter at Chief M. Hyatt. I don't give a whole bunch of Twitter stuff, but I do know you tweet about a whole bunch of stuff, and you're involved with Special Olympics, amongst other things. But we've talked so much about crime around here, Chief Hyatt, and I guess in the city as much as anything, sort of the birth of Baltimore Positive, and we're electing new mayors here and all of this. But then there comes you with the chief on the title and the phone that goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning about every single thing, and you did it for so long. From the city to the county, I guess the natural question would be the differences between one place to the other, because Don always loves to say, and I love to say as well, there is no magic line between the city and the county, right? There's no wall up. We're all sort of connected and in this together, and I think you represent that really, truly at the highest level for your service of what you did for the city and what you're now doing for the county.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say to begin with, probably the most obvious difference, of course, is the fact that the geography in the county is absolutely extraordinarily large compared to the city. But you're absolutely right. There are no magic lines between jurisdictions. And as for the police departments themselves, both agencies that are filled with hardworking officers that really care tremendously about the jurisdictions that they serve.
Well, Chief, I'm fascinated because I asked the fire chief a similar question, but a little girl, and in your case, evidently, according to legend, you have to tell us if it's true, at around 3 years old, you say to your mom and dad, and your dad was a police officer, I want to be a police officer. So is it true that little three-year-old Melissa Hyatt says, I want to be a police officer?
Yes, that would absolutely be accurate. You know, I was really fortunate. I had the luxury of being able to watch my father every day coming and going from work, getting ready, and just really the pride that he took in the uniform that he wore, and really just how much he cared about his police department and about his jurisdiction really stuck with me. And I knew that it was the only thing that I wanted to do.
Well, what did you... You talk a little bit the pride that he had, but growing up as the child of a police officer, and I have police officers in my family as well, were you aware of the risk that police officers face each and every day? Because I know in our family when we talk about it, and when I talk to friends, we awestruck is really not too strong of a word in terms of the respect that we feel for the men and women who truly do put their lives on the line every day. Were you aware of the magnitude of that as a child?
I certainly was. You know, I can remember at times, even when my father was a duty officer when he was in the Baltimore City Police Department, and he had to respond in for the death of officers. He lost several friends on the job. So, you know, I would say the magnitude of the profession, both in the rewards and in the risks, was very clear to me from the time that I was a pretty young child.
Well, I mean, you grew up wanting to do this. I think one of the things we've talked so much, and we talked to Commissioner Harrison about this in the city, and I'm sure it's an issue everywhere, is recruitment. And, I mean, it sort of recruited you from you know, the beginning. But for someone that maybe has never thought about this life at 22, 25, a young age, to say, that's something that I want to consider doing, that taking an oath, being a part of this, risking being married to the job to some degree, in a different kind of way than any of us are married to a job when you go and put the badge on and put that uniform on. But recruiting people and finding the right people for departments, that seems to be a challenge for us as a society all the way around, because I think all of us realize the strength of for all of us is in the strength of our laws and in law and order, and you are the ones that stand in front of that for all of us.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate that this is now the second agency that I've been involved in recruitment with, and without question, there are still a lot of young men and women that are interested in this profession, but it is far more challenging now than it used to be. You know, to begin with, we have all of these local police departments that are all competing for a finite pool of candidates. And sometimes it's really whoever offers the best package, the take-home car, the benefits, those things. You know, a lot of times that's where that decision-making ends up going, or sometimes it's even who hires them first. You know, I will say right now, with us in the midst of this pandemic, some challenging economic times, we are also trying to put a bit of a positive spin on this and hope that this is also an opportunity that some people that may not have thought of a future in law enforcement might be interested in coming to our department and being part of our family.
Well, Chief, you're Baltimore County's first female police chief, and we want to talk about that a little bit. We also want to talk about the strength, and Nestor and I have talked about this with city officials quite a bit. The strength in Baltimore County that it has had in terms of the stability of lack of turnover in its police chief. So if things go according to Hoyle, you're not going to be here for 1 or 2 years. My guess is you're going to be here for a period of time. So I was wondering if you could address both of those issues. One, is there any pressure being the first female chief? And then second, do you believe that stability in leadership is key to public safety?
So I'll start with the female chief question. And I think in a lot of ways I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't look at it as additional pressure because of my gender. I've always set the bar for myself, not competing against, you know, other women. It's just been competing against the people that I admired most in the roles that I served or that I aspired to be in. So for that piece, you know, I recognize that, you know, in some cases, you know, maybe the critics are a bit more critical, but I turn, that's all noise to me, and so I just turn it off. As for your point about the stability in the Baltimore County Police Department or stability in law enforcement leadership as a whole, you know, I think that is very important. You know, Baltimore County absolutely has had a tradition of long-standing police chiefs. I certainly hope that I can add to that. And with that stability comes the time and the ability to implement a vision and then develop the support structure for any positive change or transformation to become embedded in the fabric of the police department. When things change too quickly, sometimes that just doesn't happen.
Chief Hyatt can be followed at Chief M. Hyatt out on Twitter. She is the Baltimore County Police Chief and joining us here on Baltimore Positive. We've talked so much about technology, you know, across all facets of running society. And for some of us old timers, and I'll throw you in that category of life before we had Google Maps and we had, you know, Apple phones and certainly video on the scene of police officers one way or another and video cameras on police officers. For you with the technology piece of this, that maybe when you were a little girl on dad's lap or even training or at the University of Delaware 20 years ago when this wasn't here, run a citizen through how much technology has improved all facets of public safety, as well as hopefully the public's confidence that integrity on the other side of the blue is there. And it's something we hear so much about in the city is the trust between citizens and the police, that now, for better or worse, there is videotape. For better or worse, we get to places quicker and have the technology to get there. I guess at the other side of the crime scene, there would be then how do we have the technology to put real criminals away, right?
So to begin with, I definitely take offense to being called an old timer.
I was waiting for that.
I think you remember landlines, though, because we're on one right now.
Don't let him off the hook, Chief.
I would have been remiss if I didn't say it. But, you know, I think you're so right. Technology has changed so much for all of us over the years. But really, in law enforcement, it has completely transformed how we do our jobs. You know, I remember many years ago when the first City Watch camera was installed when I was a police officer in Baltimore City, and just how different that was, and moved to the point that now every police officer is wearing a body-worn camera. I truly think that, you know, I know that there are always concerns in all directions about this, but I'll certainly say, you know, in terms of body-worn cameras, without question, one of the best technological advances in policing really helps build trust and legitimacy with the community. And at this point in time, in 2020, the community demands a level of transparency. And frankly, we balance that with the fact that it also helps tremendously protect our officers. There are a lot of times that complaints are rapidly unfounded because of viewing the body-worn camera footage. You know, another really exciting piece for me when I look at technology is something that we're in the process of standing up in Baltimore County, and we're not quite there yet, but we're going to be establishing a real-time event center, which is basically an entity where analysts and police officers are working together to process real-time data, and we're using it to effectively deploy our resources and really get to the point that we are far more effective, not only in our deployment, but in our investigations. And, you know, were this even 20 years ago, we wouldn't have the ability to do these things, which just makes us a more effective and efficient agency.
She just proved that was an old timer. She mentioned 20 years ago. I didn't mention that.
I did.
She did.
Chief, I am so pleased to hear you talk about the success of the body camera program. We had State's Attorney Scott Schellenberger on the show a few weeks ago. And again, for those of you listening, go back and catch Scott Schellenberger's interview in the in Baltimore Positive as one of the episodes. But Scott, I was very appreciative that Scott said, "Hey Don, I was wrong." As you know, that when County Executive Kamenetz and you were pushing to move forward quickly with body cameras, you know I was an opponent. And he said, "I have to tell you, I want to say publicly, it's been one of the best tools that we've had." And one of the things that County Executive Kamenetz felt strongly would be true, Chief, and you alluded to it, but I wonder if you can talk about it a little more, because I think it's important, and that is County Executive Kamenetz was convinced, and he would talk with the FOP, that body-worn cameras more often than not would protect our officers and actually show that our officers had acted in an appropriate way, because he believed that more often than not, they actually did.
Without question. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say, look, in every profession, there are a fraction of people that, you know, need to be addressed, may not be functioning in the way that we want. But first of all, body-worn cameras give us the ability to proactively identify that. But what we find time and time again, and the majority of the time, is that our officers are doing an exceptional job out there. There's a lot of stuff that they do that we don't even usually find out about when they're out, you know, changing a tire or helping a child with something. There are just so many things that they're doing during the course of their day. And so while I realize that this tool is also important in times when, you know, we need to address behavior, but really overwhelmingly, it's just really professional behavior that just makes me so proud to be the leader of this organization.
Well, you know, that's a success story. And one of the things that we talk about And I'm going to start with your clearance rates, because Nestor, and we're not going to talk about any other jurisdictions because it wouldn't be fair to put you in that spotlight. But Baltimore County clearance rates are clearly exceptional. And whether it's homicide or other kinds of crime categories, we typically exceed state and national averages. I mean, there are times, Chief, I recall, when our homicide clearance rate was actually above 90%, which is just remarkable. Why is that? Why is Baltimore County able, let our audience know, what do we do that allows us to clear cases when other subdivisions might have difficulty doing that?
So, you know, I can't compare us to any other organization. What I can say, though, you know, reflecting on our clearance rates, and, you know, our clearance rates this year are currently, you know, for homicide are, frankly, even a little bit better than they were last year, and obviously we still have a lot of the year to go. But, you know, one thing that we're fortunate about is that the staffing that we're able to put into our units, while we're struggling with staffing like most other police departments, we are still able to maintain a caseload that permits our detectives to clear cases or work them to an exhaustive point. We have a lot of oversight from different levels of supervision. Our patrol officers, you know, where an incident initially occurs, aren't just report takers. They're doing some street-level investigations, what really matters. And, you know, one of the most important parts and one of the things that we can't overlook is that we have very strong community relationships in Baltimore County, and our citizens and police officers, detectives, work very well together. And just as much as we want to prevent and clear crime, our residents want the same thing. And, you know, there have been multiple cases over the course of this past year that we've been very fortunate for that relationship because it's really assisted us. And, you know, even when we go one step beyond that, because you mentioned our state's attorney for Baltimore County, Scott Schellenberger, before, I truly have to tell you that we are really fortunate with a great, productive relationship with the state's attorney's office. And so when we have these investigations, you know, we also know that they are going to aggressively prosecute those cases. And then once those cases are prosecuted, we have a strong relationship with parole and probation. In fact, they attend our weekly crime meetings. They work really closely with us. And if there's somebody that has violated parole and probation, is a violent repeat offender, they're working with us to help us extract that person from the street. So it's a lot of different things that I think all converge together.
Well, Chief, another point I think tied into all this, and you know, Nestor, always say that Nestor's someone that really is interested in how government works. And, you know, from time to time, Nestor even toys with whether he'll run for office or not. One of the things that keeps coming up when we talk to folks, and I'll use former mayor and former governor Martin O'Malley, he is so adamant on the importance of the use of data and what he calls dots on the map and being able to make decisions in all areas of government, particularly public safety, in terms of an analysis of crime, where it's happening, how to allocate resources. Can you update us and our listeners on where Baltimore County is in its ability to do that and whether or not you make use of that approach?
Absolutely, and I will tell you, I am an incredibly strong proponent of utilizing data for proper deployment for law enforcement. You know, it's one of those things I think about during the progression of my own career. For many years when I was an officer on the street, a lot of my decisions, even at lower levels in management, were based on gut, on instinct. But the reality is, if we are trying to deploy a finite number of resources and have the greatest impact, we really need to utilize our data in order to do it the best way. And one of the things that I've been really proud of, when I was speaking before about this real-time event center, we brought in an individual who is really directing that effort. She's the director of crime strategies and analysis, and that's really her bread and butter is about data and how we can utilize it to make our deployment more effective, to be proactive instead of just responding to crime. What do we need to do to predict it? And that's one of the most exciting things for me in deploying in law enforcement.
Chief, can you give us – that's a really intriguing bit of information. Can you give us an example of how information that this individual that you've hired would generate might actually play out? Is there a specific example that would help us see it clearly?
Well, we've had some different patterns that have occurred over the last several months. And, you know, whether it was a commercial robbery pattern where we are trying to get data and be predictive, and she is able to work with her team and do some predictive analysis, which is really what we want to do. So that way, instead of just having our officers out randomly combing the streets, we have a bit more information for a more detailed deployment. And really, there are just so many different ways that can help us in policing, but that's just one small example.
You can follow Chief Hyatt at Chief M. Hyatt out on Twitter. She's in Baltimore County as the police chief. And I must say that we said to Chief Runder, at least I said, that chief is the greatest title. You know, Dom was an executive. You can be a principal. Not a lot of people get to be the chief. So Baltimore County Police Chief joining us. It's just the greatest title ever. Gang activity and the things that concern me as a city resident, and you spend a lot of time on the streets here in the city, and repeat offenders and the state's role in allowing criminals to come back and be repeat offenders, recidivism, all of these things that we talk so much about, and we're talking about literally in the city as we're electing our next mayor. Thoughts about that part of the dots on the map where things are happening and how we make sure that gang activity is not happening in Baltimore County these days?
You know, one of the things that I'll say, and we work very closely, we're very fortunate here, we have some detectives under our Criminal Investigations Bureau that if we have a case that might have some kind of gang link, they're very deeply embedded in it. We have school resource officers that are in all of the schools, and they work very diligently to work with the youth in all of these schools to make sure that we're focused on the right things and getting these young adults the resources that they need to dissuade them from, you know, a life of that. Fortunately, we also have some other things. We have our JOINS program, which is Juvenile Offenders in Need of Supervision, which, again, is another program that has police officers really working closely with these young adults. I say all of that to say that while certainly every jurisdiction has some level of, you know, gang presence, I can't say we don't have any. We're very fortunate that it is a low level in terms of crime. It is absolutely low, and it's not by coincidence. Whether it's the hard work that our police officers are doing, the help we get from federal partners, the work of our state's attorney, when we see any symptoms of that activity, we address it very quickly. And I think regardless of what jurisdiction you're in, you know, those are some basic tenets that I think are very important.
Well, Chief, talking about all the issues, one of the ones that always bubbled up, and it continues to be an issue, I think, not only in Baltimore County, but nationwide, and we certainly, in the last 8 to 10 years that I was in Baltimore County government, we focused on it. We had some success, didn't get all the way where we needed to be, and that's the whole issue of how we handle sexual assaults, both from the police side and then on, you know, just in the total approach to sexual assault cases. And I know it's something that the county's been focusing on. Can you give us sort of an update on where we are and how you feel about our effort in that area?
Absolutely. You know, I came in at a very interesting time in terms of that. This was when the county executive task force had been formed and was getting ready to push out their final recommendations. There were 23 key recommendations. I'm really happy to say that we are really, along with our partners, in various stages of planning, execution, and implementation of all of these things. And this is just such a tremendously important topic. you know, one of the immediate things that made a significant change was just the decision to immediately cease the use of the waiver form, which was historically used to capture a victim's desire to decline an investigation. And just eliminating that waiver has really given our victims, our advocates, our investigators just more time to focus and to work very closely with the victim. You know, along with that, our focus on a victim-centered focus and victim-centered approach, whether it's our in-service training that we deliver to our entire police department on trauma-informed care or victim-centered offender-focused investigations, or some of the new space that we have, a soft room that we had some partners that provided us resources to be able to make a nice room for that. We were very fortunate to get a significant grant. We partnered with Senator Shelley Hedelman when she was a state delegate and the Hackerman Foundation to really assist us in some areas of forensic testing. And frankly, our relationship with the GBMC, their team, their safe nurses, the relationship that they have with our SVU detectives and our forensics team, it's just, it's really good to see, even in the almost year that I've been here, the amount of progress that this group has made. And they, frankly, they truly care about the victims in these cases, and that's why it's moving at the speed that it is.
Well, that's really, really encouraging. Chief, I know you have to, you have a county to protect. I know you have to get back to work, but we can't let you run. Nestor always laughs when we bring this up. I said, you're in a stressful job. Being a police chief 24/7, it's a hard job. What does a police chief, what does Melissa Hyatt do to relax, to kick back, to just have some fun, to recharge the batteries? What do you like to do when you're not police chief?
You know, I'm very fortunate. I have a very strong support system. So I have a great family, and I'm really lucky about that. Anytime that I have the ability to enjoy a nice workout or a couple of minutes of peaceful time, I take it when I can. But, you know, although this is definitely an all-encompassing and sometimes exhausting job, I think it's absolutely worth it, knowing the folks that I work with in this police department and knowing the type of organization that I'm leading.
Well, there's never any question you have more courage than I do, but every year you go down and you plunge 24 times. And I think anybody that does that, this side of Wim Hof, and I know how important the Special Olympics, so I want to give you a little oxygen about that, because there's so many things this year we haven't had a chance to do, right? But everything that happened in January and February we did get to do, and at least that was one of them, right?
Absolutely. I've been a four-time super plunger, and I'm hoping that circumstances will permit me to do it for the fifth time next year, although I guess I'm just a glutton for punishment. You know, law enforcement internationally is actually the largest fundraiser for Special Olympics, and as a profession, that's really the fundraising entity that we focus on. I'll absolutely say it doesn't matter how stressful this job can be or the different tough times that we're in, the relationship that we have with those Special Olympics athletes is just incredible. And jumping into the cold water 24 times is and raising $10,000 is frankly pretty minimal compared to what these athletes, you know, how hard they work, how hard they train, and everything that they have to endure in their lives. So it's completely worth it.
Chief, I'll write a check and applaud. That's all I'm going to do, you know, from
I'll
here.
we
appreciate the visit. Hello to your family as well. And we appreciate all that you're doing, standing on the front line for the Blue and for Baltimore County and all that you're doing, and taking some time with us as well. I know we've been trying to set this up for a long time, so it's great to visit with you.
You too. Take care and stay safe and healthy.
Chief, thank you so much for everything.
Chief Melissa Hyatt, you can follow her, Chief M. Hyatt, out on Twitter, Baltimore County Police Chief, and a super plunger at Plunge MD for the Maryland Special Olympics. We're doing all sorts of great conversations out at Baltimore Positive and WNST.net. Former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, always by my side for these conversations, and of course, all the mayoral candidates, as well as city council candidates, as well as Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman joining us. And now we're getting into some more things of Baltimore County, as well as the elections this week. Make sure you're voting. Make sure you're registering to vote. It is not a privilege. It is a right. So let's make sure we get that square as well. democracy, not a spectator sport. Don Mohler has taught me that. Big thanks to our friends at State Fair over in Catonsville. Evan Brown and I have been rocking and rolling out at WNST.net with my May musical Nest Picks as well. And big thanks to Damien and everybody down at Fadley's for making me lunch earlier this week. I had it proper, man. Crab cake, a little extra fried, with some fries, with some coleslaw, with a little bit of salad and mac and cheese to make the wife happy at home because she doesn't like crab cakes. She's not from around here. Big thanks as well to Mohler and Gary Realty and our newest sponsor, Taharka. I'm holding the Wake and Bake. That's the coffee ice cream with the fudge swirl and chunks of fudge brownies. Warning, the brownies will get stuck in your teeth. Taharka, made in Baltimore. Says so right on the lid. And froze the hair on the back of my neck up over there in their warehouse the other day picking up some ice cream. So don't cry for me. I have fresh ice cream through the Memorial Day holiday and into June, including eggnog ice cream. I might even share it with Don Mohler. I am Nestor, Don Mohler, former Baltimore County executive. Together, we are Baltimore Positive, and we are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, keeping calm, staying local, and always staying Baltimore Positive.